This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
How do you address those skeptics?
Well, the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of...
Live, pal.
But he's gay. He's blind. So we'll hear about that.
Okay. Dana is off tonight. He was murdered and then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
I can't do it. We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Hey all, it's Tim here, back for another episode of We'll Do It Live. This is the pre-show, post-show wrap-up insert. I'm going to be honest with you guys from the start. I have had this episode on the docket to be edited for a couple weeks now. I've been a little lazy, I'll just say it. Not really that busy. I mean, in some ways, yes. I'm always busy. Realistically, I've just been in a bit of a funk, a bit of a haze when it comes to not my personal life. My life is pretty great. I have my family that I care about. Really more in a funk when it comes to, I guess, professional slash hobby personal. Maybe been a little burnt out on wrestling in general, watching it on tape. And the live wrestling, I mean, that's what this show's about. And the live wrestling, I've had a little... Maybe a little hiccup. Maybe a little letting myself down because I set lofty goals. I went to PWG a couple weeks back, and I loved the show, but it really kind of zonked me when it came to just the energy for live wrestling in general. I couldn't bring myself to go to PCW or AWS the weeks after that. I really kind of fell off the map with that there. This is the place to be vulnerable in some ways, I guess. I don't know. There's that. And it's just been rough beginning of the year, ever since 45 was elected. Really took it out of me, but, you know, this week we've got Steve Van Graham from the Pro Wrestling Super Show and the Super Apuestas podcast, and also the Pro Wrestling Super blog. I'd have to double check exactly, but you all know him, his Grimace, Major Grimace on Twitter. And Carl Mann from Wrestling With Words, to some reviews there, and just from all around being a pretty great dude. We're on here talking about Smash Wrestling. Sounds like a pretty cool spot. It's a nice kind of hybrid. I think it was really the first place that got dubbed with that PWG of Canada, PWG of X vibe, and then they kind of strayed from that, I think. While not being 100% kind of goofy and wacky like Chikara, they're definitely considered family-friendly. As a company, they definitely have some storylines and some, I guess from what I can hear, the venue is the kind of place that you can bring the kids and the family, but they also have some serious, but it's not all super dry like Evolve. So they got some storylines, got some good work, got some flippy-doos. The whole thing is pretty, sounds pretty good, but it's kind of funny. I'm not going to throw all under the bus completely, but I'll just say one of the two guests kind of spoke with me before we recorded and said, "Hey, you know, I'm not super passionate about Smash right now." It's kind of funny because it's not necessarily that it influenced, but it kind of has seeped into my own live wrestling experience lately. I haven't been super enthused, but we'll get that fire back, and maybe listening to this episode again will relight my passion. Hey, how about this? How about everybody be awesome to each other? So we're here to talk about Smash. I've got Stephen Graham, and I've got Carl Mann. Stephen Graham from the Super Apuestas podcast, the Pro Wrestling Super Show. I know you also do some blogging with PTBN, Pro Wrestling Only. You're also on Twitter, all that. And I've got Carl Mann, who is new to the scene somewhat from Wrestling With Words, has never done a podcast before. Done some reviews on Wrestling With Words, going to kind of up that. But he's a guy who I really appreciate in the Wrestling With Words Slack chat. We get to talking about different wrestling stuff, and I may have been a bad influence on him a time or two as he's started to not like Shibata as much or not like Ishii as much because of me. So sorry about that, Carl. How you guys doing tonight? Steven, let's, I guess, start with you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, yeah. Wrestling With Words, that's where the We Don't Know Wrestling 100's coming, right?
Yeah. Those are all coming out hot and heavy right now.
Yeah, I did the database for that, man. Everyone spells Tomasa Ciampa differently. There was legit six different ways that people put Tomasa Ciampa.
It's like it's the joke that his name is hard to pronounce, even harder to spell, I guess. And I copied it directly off of the forums, and I think I may have even gotten it wrong. So I just don't know what the deal is. That's why I just wanted to put...
There's a lot of M's, there's a lot of S's, there's the Ciampa part people can't get right. It's very, it was very fascinating.
Yeah, that's why I was just going to put Tommy Penman's shit, but I wasn't sure if you'd know who I was talking about.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. So
the other one was Zack Sabre Jr., because people put, like, ZSJ. Commas before the Jr., they put periods at the Jr., they didn't put periods, they didn't put commas. Some people put Zack with not an H, but with a K. I think one person spelled Saber, E-R. So that was the other one that was a lot of variation.
You know what? Speaking of Saber, there's Shane Saber from Smash Wrestling. Does he spell his name with the E-R? Or... Let me double check that, huh?
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
He's a common guy up there for you. Either ways, I guess, Carl, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good. Really happy to be here with you guys on the podcast. And it's kind of exciting doing my first ever podcast. So hopefully... I won't screw up too much or whatever, but yeah, I'm doing great.
Fantastic.
Man, if I could do podcasts for a couple of years, there's no amount of screwing up matters, really.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's good. So.
Yeah, right, if you could pull this off. So, okay, let's start out. Carl, how long have you been going to Smash Wrestling shows live? When was the first one you went to, and how regularly do you go?
Okay, so the first show that I went to was actually in May. It was when they had their, I don't know if they call it 16 karat also, but they have that tournament that they do. So that was in May of last year. It's the first show that I went to. I've probably been to about six shows since then. Almost every show that they've done at the Franklin Horner Community Center, which is in Etobicoke. So pretty much since that time, since May, I've been going to almost every show. So.
Okay, and so they run... They run actually a mix of buildings, don't they?
Yeah, they do. It's like they almost have their own little loop that they do because they run shows, I think, pretty much every month in Etobicoke, which is sort of west of Toronto, like west of the main part of the city, Toronto.
Yeah, it is actually Toronto. It's just the west end. Toronto used to be a bunch of little cities at one point, and then it amalgamated into one big city.
Yeah, into one
GTA. So some people still like, this is Etobicoke, but it's really just Toronto. Etobicoke doesn't exist anymore. But,
really? Okay. Yeah, to me, it's like, that's Etobicoke, man. Yeah, okay. But they do that. They also run shows up in, where else do they do?
St. Catharines, London.
London, Ontario, that's right, yeah.
And those are like, St. Catharines is an hour. London's about 2 or 3 hours. So they're traveling. You know?
Yep.
And that's when you say hour, 2 or 3 hours, that's like if you were driving yourself, I'm assuming.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, Steven, when was the first Smash show that you went to?
I actually went to the debut show whenever that was. And that's actually the where I met Dave Musgrave. It was just after I moved to Toronto or Etobicoke. And I guess he like messaged me on Pro Wrestling Only. Is like, I'm coming here, do you want to come? I come with some friends. And yeah, that was I was there at the very first show.
And it's got I'm looking at it here, that was 2012, and it's got a mix of some names that you still see there. Scotty O'Shea, Tyson Dukes,
Dukes,
Duke, I guess it's Dukes, yeah, right.
I think Kevin Steen was in the main event, if I remember correctly. Or maybe that was the second show.
Brent Banks and Matt Cross. Actually, look.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. Steen's the next show not that far after that. Yeah.
Everybody on this card actually looks like they're still there. I mean, 2012 wasn't like 100,000 years ago, but it still was pretty long ago that you'd think some people would start moving up. And so what's your kind of show going schedule been like since that beginning? Are you a go to every show guy or...
I used to be, life kind of got in the way. I went with Musgrave, so he got busy and, you know, stuff happened. So now I maybe go to like a show every 2 or 3 months, based on what the card is and if I'm, you know, free.
Okay. And are you going to shows in different cities or do you just, or different buildings, I guess, because a lot of them are... It's technically Toronto, or do you just go to the specific one that's nearby you?
I just go to the Etobicoke ones. They used to run the E-Zone, and now they run the Horner place. So I went to the E-Zone place a lot more. There was one I went to that was like more in Mississauga. There has been some that maybe not that far away, but I just haven't been able to make it, but I was close to making it.
Okay, and so you guys both actually go to, I guess you're saying Etobicoke, that is a city that no longer exists, correct?
It's like amalgamated into the, the greater Toronto area or something like that. I think that's how the best way to put it.
Got it, yeah. Okay. So
it's like, parts of New York. Sometimes it'd be like, oh, I live in Queens, New York.
Right,
but you just live in New York City.
Yeah, it's like Los Angeles is really like that as well. I mean, where I live is like four different, not even cities, but like, I guess, neighborhoods. It has a bunch of different names for this area. So I totally get what you're saying there. So you haven't seen Smash at any other building except for that same building then?
Oh, I went to the E-Zone too when they used to run there. And one in Mississauga. I don't know what that place was called, but.
And what did you, let's say comparatively, what did you think of where they run in Etobicoke that you go to regularly compared to the other places?
So they started off in the E-Zone, which was also in Etobicoke. Strangely enough, it was closer to when I lived there, and then I moved, and now I'm closer to the place they run now, which is nice. But yeah, the E-Zone was this weird place that's like, there was... a bar in there, a restaurant, there was like this, it was like a gaming center. Like there was a place where you could go and play bumper cars and all this various things. It was like this big gaming center. And one of the rooms, they would set up the ring and they would run the show, but there'd be like a pool table like in the corner and there's like arcade games and stuff inside. So there was some fun stuff in some of the earlier shows. Where like Kevin Steen would put someone on the pool table and then like shoot a pool cue at or like shoot a pool ball at his dick or whatever.
That's so awesome.
So that was fun stuff. Like in some of the brawls and there was some stuff like Brent Banks and someone like they brawled to the outside and they were brawling in the parking lot and stuff like that. So I kind of liked that place because it was kind of fun in that way. And also what they would do is they would run on Sundays and they would end the show at like 7:50 or something like that, and then they would allow you to go to the restaurant bar and watch the WWE pay-per-view right after. So it was like a kind of fun, you know, long experience where you'd watch the wrestling show and then you'd, you know, watch the WWE pay-per-view like with kind of the same fans. So that was really fun. So I kind of really dug that method. The Horner place, it's really just a high school gym. It is kind of fun. Like they have the barbecue that's outside and they have a nice little atmosphere there. But there was something about that E-Zone that made it feel a little different and a little bit special.
Okay. And so, Carl, you never went to any shows at the E-Zone?
No, I never did. Only at the community center, the Franklin Horner Center. Okay. So that's my only experience with Smash.
And they don't run the E-Zone at all? Because I remember a lot of that stuff about the kind of co-promoted with the WWE pay-per-view shows hearing about that, but they don't do those anymore at all.
Doesn't seem like it, no.
I think once the network launched, it kind of killed that off.
Yeah, I guess I could see that because people aren't really wanting to sit around watching the show because it's not cost effective or whatever. It doesn't help them save money. How long would the wrestling shows be before a pay-per-view?
Just under 3 hours. They never went too far. They'd start at like 5 and they'd be done before the pay-per-view start.
Okay, so you're not doing like a 9-hour watching wrestling day. I mean, that's putting in a long day watching that much wrestling. But I do find that kind of interesting. You go over to the other part and watch the pay-per-view. And I think it'd be nice if you got a heel that got extra heat by dragging his match out intentionally long so you guys missed the opening match from the pay-per-view.
They used to do these press conferences. Like, if you get VIP tickets, you get to, like, go to the press conference and ask some questions after. And I remember Dave would pay for those extra tickets, and I'd be sitting there, my food would come, the opening match would be halfway over before he'd be back, so he'd always get a little annoyed from that, but if you just went to the show proper, there was no issues ever.
Ah, that's interesting. I wonder how they, you kind of rectify that. You're sitting there waiting around doing all that. So, people have referred to Smash as, the PWG of Canada, and that was early on before there was, the PWG of Europe and the PWG of Mexico and the PWG of everywhere. They were kind of the first, promotion that kind of was getting that buzz. I think it actually came from the Young Bucks themselves saying something like that in an interview. And with Steven, you being the one who was there early on, do you think that was correct early on as kind of a take on them, and do you think it's changed? Or do you think it kind of grew into that and is possibly still that way? What do you think?
I don't know how to compare it to PWG because I don't really understand the PWG thing. Like, I've watched some shows, but I don't really get it. So I don't know how to say Smash is the PWG of Canada or whatever because I don't really understand what PWG is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But Smash was, or still is, really, they'd be a promotion that had a lot of great local talent. You have your Tyson Dukes, your Scotty O'Shea's, your, Pepper Parks and Ali, who are both, actually there's a lot of people in TNA from Smash. Now that I think about it, Rosemary's there. I think a few others I can't think of at the moment. Crazy Steve, he went from there. So there's a lot of talent like that, but there is a lot of great talent there. Josh Alexander was there for the longest time, so there's all this great talent, and then they would always bring in one or two big names and have like these showcase matches. Like early on, you'd bring in Kevin Steen and Chris Hero. Matt Cross is there a lot. Now you're bringing a lot of the Progress guys, like they did not that long ago, a four night in a row where it was Smash vs. Progress. They did Smash vs. CZW. So they've done a lot of like that. So they bring in a lot of the big name talent to mix it up with the locals. I don't think PWG really utilizes the locals that way. Like they're kind of built on just bringing people in while Smash kind of brings in the talent to face the locals. So I feel it's a little different in that way, but it does feel a lot more, big time than a lot of indies I've been to, if that makes sense. And it is a very nice environment to go to. Like, it's not when I go to a WWE show or Ring of Honor show, there's a lot more smarkiness and kind of that, like that attitude where people, kind of like, I know stuff and blah, blah, blah. Well, it's a lot more fun experience at Smash. People like lose themselves. There was they do this annual women's series. It's the Canusa Classic where it's Canada versus US. And each, they have 5 or 7 matches, and it's a series of Canadian versus American women's wrestlers. And during one of the matches, I think it was Jade versus TNA. It was some woman, American. And there was these young girls who were like on their chair losing it for the Canadian, just like unabashedly cheering on. And like, you don't really, I feel like you don't really see that very much, or like you see like a row of little girls standing on chairs cheering on their Canadian hero versus the evil American. And, you know, there's no one making fun of it. Everyone's just, you know, they're happy to be there. They're cheering. They're booing, whatever the situation is. So,
okay. I mean, I guess I see it in that regard, maybe the parallels that they're trying to make. Carl, man, you being a little bit more, I guess, familiar with PWG, I think, or somewhat. How do you feel about that comparison just from the time that you've been going to the Smash shows?
Yeah, for sure. Like, the way I look at it is, I think in the past that may very well be what Smash was. It was like our Canadian equivalent to PWG. Like, when I look back and I see some of the cards that took place back in the day, like, I see these names, like the Chris Heroes, the, you know, Christian Cage, the Davey Richards, who actually is going to be there next month too, right? But Kevin Steen, all kinds of people like that. Like, the way it is now, since I've been going since May, the way I seem to see it is that, like, the way they'll do it is they'll have one big name that they'll bring in for each show, and they'll build the show sort of around that one big name. Like, one month it'll be Cody Rhodes, which was actually, out of all the shows I've been to, that's the one that I've seen the most people at, was at the Cody Rhodes show. There were so many people at that one, so I was surprised to see how many people actually came for him. But it's not like that PWG thing where it's just a star-studded superstars all up and down the card. The way they do it is more like what Steven was saying. It's kind of like local talent all throughout the card, but then you'll have that one big guy that they base the show around. The show that we were at, you know, it had Jimmy Havoc, and it also had the London Riot. So they had like three guys that they brought in, and it had those guys, the guys from Jollyville, who I've seen before, like I think in AIW or something like that. But that's kind of how they do it now. So it's like for me, for example, like when I first started going to the first show I went to, it's because I saw that they were bringing sushi in, and I like happened to love like All Japan Pro Wrestling. I just started getting into it, so I was like, I don't care that it's sushi, like bottom of the card guy in All Japan. I just want to go and see an All Japan guy live. And on that show, they also had Mike Bailey, and that's kind of the reason why I went to that show, was because Speedball Mike Bailey was going to be there. So that was like the big draw for me on that show. The other, like Tyson Dukes, I've known for years. Like I've seen him for years, right? Like when I used to go to the WWE shows back in the early 2000s. Tyson Dukes is always in a dark match. You know, he's like a comedy guy coming out. So I haven't kept in touch with his career. So when I went there, you know, for me, it was new to find out Tyson Dukes is kind of like the main guy there. He's like a serious wrestler now, which, you know, it kind of caught me by surprise. And then I'd see these guys like Brent Banks. I never had any history of watching him. Scotty O'Shea, same thing. That guy, John Reed, I'd never seen him before. So for me, these are all like local guys that I didn't really care about or had no interest in. But the funny thing is, over these last few months of going to Smash every month, like these guys have kind of like won me over in a way. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, man, like these guys work so hard and they have a following. Like Steven was saying, like it's not a smarky kind of fan base there. It really is like fans that are getting into it and having like a good time. There's like a couple kind of eccentric type people that you always see there at the shows that really bring a lot of flavor and a lot of character to the shows too. So that's kind of the way I look at it. It's like, and also PWG, from watching the DVDs or whatever, like I noticed it's more of an adult crowd. At Smash, it's like everything. There's lots of kids there. There's like kind of families there. You also have like the more, you know, mid-20s, early 30s guys coming there with their buddies to watch the show, but it's like a nice cross-section of people too, which is pretty cool.
Okay, so yeah, I can see the hybrid, as I said, I can see the comparison there. I guess another comparison would be the tickets, the prices, and the availability. I mean, what's it, as Steven mentioned, you know, Dave Musgrave was buying them, he's getting the VIP packets and all that, but, I mean, is a Smash Wrestling a hot ticket? Is it hard to get? You said Cody, you know, helped bring more people there, but is it tough to get tickets?
I've never had a problem getting tickets. Like, the tickets, the most that I've ever paid for a ticket to go to Smash is $40, and that's always been like when it was the Cody Rhodes, when it was the event where Cody Rhodes came, which was in August, the top ticket price was $40, and then I think the lowest ticket price was $20, right? They have three rows of tickets that they sell. They have VIP row 1, VIP row 2, VIP row 3. So most of the time, by the time I get around to ordering my ticket, VIP row 1 is sold out, but row 2 is usually still available, and row 3 is available. And then you can buy the general admission tickets for $20. So for me, I've never had a problem getting a hold of tickets. Usually it's just like the first row is sold out or something like that. I got my tickets already for April because also, I don't know if you're aware, Timothy, but in April, they're debuting at a new location, which is in downtown Toronto. So they're going to actually be at the Phoenix Concert Hall, which is going to be really cool because like the Franklin Horner Community Center, it's like, you know, like Steven said, it's just a small little gym, right? It's pretty, you know, I don't want to put down Smash, but it's a pretty crappy looking venue, to be honest, right? But I think with them moving over to the Phoenix Concert Hall in April, it's going to be pretty cool because there's going to be a lot better atmosphere there. But for example, like Jeff Cobb is coming in April. I got my ticket already for that. It was no problem. I got second row. And then at the show that we were at, they were dropping hints about like something pretty big going on the show in May. So I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to get my ticket now and get it out of the way. So I got my May ticket as well. And it's the same thing. You know, I paid, I think, $40 for each of those tickets. I got like row two and no problems. You know, it's not like PWG where everything's sold out in like 30 seconds. So.
Yeah. And what I do is I get the general admission and then I just take a chair.
Yeah.
And I put it beside Musgrave, who's like paid for third row.
Yeah. Nice.
And I don't buy my tickets in advance. I show up and I'm like, oh, I need a ticket. And there's always someone in line who has an extra ticket. So I just slip him $20 and he gives me the ticket and I don't have to wait in line anymore. That's nice. My method.
That's nice. At the last show, the show that just went down, I walked in right as the first match started. And I looked over at like the lady told me, she's like, oh yeah, your seat's over on this side. So I walked in, I looked over, there's tons of guys that are all jumping up and down happy because the first guy, like I think it's Super Smash Brothers, are coming to the ring. So I'm just looking around. Then I look over to where the entrance is. I can see some empty seats. So I'm just like, I'll just go over here. So I just went there, grabbed a seat there. Later on in intermission, I looked for my actual seat. I found my name on it. And I was like, you know what? The seat I got's even better anyway. I'm just going to stay here. So, which is pretty cool.
So they mark the seats with, like, your name or at least with numbers?
Yeah. Like, if you're buying one of those VIP rows, they usually get, like, a piece of, like, you know, like, scotch or, like, masking tape. And they'll write your name on it and put that on your seat. So.
Okay. Yeah. And you did mention the building, and as Steven was talking about it, I remembered the E-Zone, the E-Zone did look a lot better on tape compared to
it looks so cool. Yeah.
The Horner now, I think, doesn't, as you said, doesn't have that same kind of vibe, and not even there either, but the new building, you said it was the Phoenix, was it Phoenix Pavilion?
It's the Phoenix Concert Theater. It's like a really, really famous landmark in downtown Toronto. It's like a really, really famous club. A lot of bands have come there and performed over the years. So it's good. Like I'm just assuming that it's just going to be a million time improvement to the Franklin Horner Community Center. Like it's going to have some atmosphere to it. Like character, that's the word that I'm looking for. It's going to have some character to it. So I'm actually really excited about that because I think it's going to make a huge difference for their presentation. And I know they have video on demand and all that. And I think that, like, for example, at the show I was at, on like the last show that we were at, I bought one of their DVDs. It's their best of 2016 compilation. I was at a lot of those matches, so I wanted to go watch them over on the DVD. And it's tough for me, it's tough watching them because of the presentation on the DVD. Like I give them full marks for the whole show that they put on. But, you know, when you're watching Progress, you're watching Rev Pro, even PWG to an extent, like the... WXW, for example, like the quality of the production is just like there's like a standard that you got to kind of keep up with. And I'm also hoping that when they move over there to the Phoenix Concert Theater, that that's going to improve that for them as well. And I think that might help them in video on demand sales too. So
have either of you gone to anything at the Phoenix Theater?
I don't think they've ever put on wrestling there. I haven't been to that place in like over 20 years, I'll say that. So I don't even remember what it looks like inside. So
yeah, I just been to a concert. Okay. Like nothing wrestling.
And what did you think of it even just for the concert though? Like do you think
it's just a cool, like it's one of those cool historic clubs, right?
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
Yeah, it's just one of those you can think of, you know, those classic concert halls in New York. It kind of feels like that.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to take a quick break and we'll come back and just keep doing what we're doing, I guess. All right, guys.
All right. Sounds good.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Clotheslines and Headlines, Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. And we leave wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the Our Vantage Point podcast, which features a potpourri-style look at wrestling history, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and the Imaginary Stories. You can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows plus others available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, thehistoryofwrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Subscribe on iTunes or on Android with your favorite podcast app. Established in 2013, the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network is committed to providing unique takes on the rich and diverse medium of professional wrestling, focusing on its history and global impact, but also exploring the vibrant contemporary scene. The roll call includes Space City, an NWA On Demand podcast, This Week in Wrestling, Stacy and Elliott's Bogus Journey, the Super Apoitas podcast, The Military Industrial Suplex, Strong Style History, Puro Puri, and Psychology is Dead. Also, from the archives, the full catalog of great shows that provided a fresh look at classic wrestling, including Where the Big Boys Play, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, Letters from Kayfabe, Wrestling Culture, Pro Wrestling Super Show, Goodwill Wrestling, and many, many others. Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Only the best.
All right, so that was a fun break that we did, and we're back to talk more about Smash. Now, I wanted to talk about the neighborhood. So I guess we'll go with the building that you're both familiar with, unless, you know, Steven, you can give me some details on what the E-Zone is like. But the neighborhood itself, I mean, is it the kind of place that you're scared parking your car, walking up to the building, or is it pretty nice neighborhood?
It's a fine neighborhood. Like, there's not too many places in Toronto where I'm afraid to park my car. It's a big city. It's the fourth biggest city in North America, but it's Canada. It's not like New York City where you know if you leave your car out, you're afraid someone's gonna break in or whatever. It's not like that. It's kind of more the suburbs of the West End, like the very tip of the West End of Toronto. It's nothing. I'd walk there at night if I wanted to.
And the E-Zone was pretty close to the building that they run regularly now.
Yeah. The only thing there, like, it was a stop on the bus from the subway station to the big mall that's in that area. Like, it's just businesses and nothing much else. It's not really much going on in that area.
Okay. And is it... So the area, is it like the kind of place where it's hard to find parking or it's expensive to pay for parking, anything like that? Is it a congested area?
No,
it's just a school, like a high school, right? So you get enough parking for, the students that go there. I've never had issues parking there. I have no trouble. I don't know about you, Carl.
No. And for me, like, I always travel there by bus and by subway. So I never have to worry about actually parking there, but it's not like a congested area at all. It's like a suburb, and also kind of, it's like a mixture of an industrial area. Like, there's all kinds of industrial units around there, and then like this like kind of nice little cozy enclave, like a nice little cozy little neighborhood in there. So I've never noticed any problems with parking or anything like that. Okay. For me, it's like a trek to get up there every time. So I'm happy about them moving down to Sherbourne Street. It's going to make things so much easier for me. So,
it was so close right now. That's what's like. I was so because I just moved to this new area in November. So I was very excited for the summer when I would be able to walk there.
But, man!
if they don't run Horner anymore, I'm not going to be able to walk.
That's too bad. I'm hoping that the Phoenix is going to be like their permanent place, because I actually have like a room downtown down by the distillery district. So it's actually, for me, if I'm staying down there, I could walk over there if the weather's good, but if not, it would be like a 10 minute, streetcar ride or whatever to get over there. So
is it anywhere near the subway? I forget that location.
What, the Phoenix?
Yeah.
Bloor and Sherbourne is where Sherbourne Station is. So you just get off there, and then it's like a 10 minute, not even 10 minutes on the bus to get there. So,
Now
that neighborhood down on Sherbourne, I don't know if you want to be parking your car necessarily.
I don't drive downtown Toronto, man. Like, it's too busy. It's just, I'll take the subway. I'll take transit. It's just too many cars.
Yeah, for sure. Like when they're down at the Phoenix, I don't know how parking is going to be for people. I think for most people, it's going to be taking public transit to get there and stuff. So.
Okay. So that is are you saying it's a bad neighborhood or it's just tough to park?
Oh, both. Like down by Sherbourne, that's like for in the city of Toronto, like in downtown Toronto, Sherbourne Street is like, especially kind of close to that area where the Phoenix is, that's sort of like a drug area in downtown Toronto. So you have a lot of like, drug use and drug selling, and you have prostitution and homelessness, right? But not necessarily right where the Phoenix is, but in that area all around it. If you go a little bit south, then you're hitting like some streets, corners that are like pretty well known for that kind of activities in our city. So.
Okay.
But the thing is too, though, like Stephen was saying, it's Toronto, it's the city of Toronto, it's Canada. So even with that kind of activity, it's still like, it's so safe. Like very rarely are there ever any problems. Like it's kind of weird that way. It's not like the way it would be if it was like in New York City or something, or Los Angeles in an area like that. It's like, it's not that bad. So.
I gotcha. So when you're taking public transportation, something I've noticed, because every now and then I'll take the bus to PWG. When you're taking public transportation, do you notice people also who are going to the show? Because I've got a crew when I take the bus that I run into. And I know exactly who it is. Do you know people who are going to be going to the show on the subway, on the bus as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, when I get off, like for me, I'm starting off in Scarborough, which is way in the other end. As far west as the Etobicoke is, that's how far east I am when I start my travel. So it takes me, like, 2 hours to get there. So from that point, no. But when I get off at the subway station, I think it's Islington Subway Station, and then there's this one bus that I take. Yeah. South to get from Islington Station to the actual Franklin Horner Community Center. Once you get on that bus, you can like pick out the people. You're like, yeah, this guy's going, these two guys over here are going. So you see like half the people that get on that bus are like going to that event. So it's pretty funny.
You will not see that at the Phoenix.
No.
Not at all. Like, not even like when I went to Survivor Series on the subway ride there, like I didn't see any, like hardly anyone going on the way back, because everyone was leaving at the same time, sure, but on the way there, you couldn't even spot anyone. It's just
way too big for that. You're not gonna see that. for a small event like that. Like, how many people do you think are at the Franklin Horner Community Center? Like 300 people at the most or something?
At the most, yeah.
Maybe even less, like 200, 250 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you talk about, you know, showing up to the event, coming on the bus and all that, then you get there. Are you waiting in line for long periods of time? You did say that, you know, recently you showed up right at bell time. I mean, is there a culture of people waiting in the line, hanging out, talking, joking around? Because at PWG, there's a lot of board games being played on the in the parking lot and stuff like that. Do you get any of that there?
For me, I'll just say from my experience, since I've been coming in May, only one time did I show up there and there was a lineup. And that was in, I think it was August when Cody Rhodes came. So the Cody Rhodes show is the only time that I showed up there where there was actually a lineup of people. I had to stand in a line, had to wait to go through the line. It took a while. And then at that time, I think Cody was, if my memory serves me correctly, I think before the show started, Cody was already at a table where you had to pay money. Like, they had a girl there that was sort of like keeping charge of everything, and you'd have to pay money to line up to either get a photo with him or get an autograph or maybe get both or something. But every other show that I've been to, there's never a lineup or anything like that. And the last one I went to, usually I get there early, but the last one I got there, just like the first match, the guys were already walking in the ring, and I just strolled on in. And yeah, so only the time when Cody was there. That's the only time.
You know why? It's because you get the VIP tickets. They let them in early. If you get general admission, you have to wait outside a bit. Because there's like, they get like the dark matches, and there's like take a picture in the ring and that kind of stuff going on before.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so if you only have general admission, you're just kind of waiting for that the extra money special stuff to end before you can come in.
You know what's funny too? It just reminded me, the first show that I ever went to was back in May when I was mentioning that Sushi was there, and that's the reason I got there. So I got there early with my VIP ticket. I walked in, there's barely nobody there. But who do I see? Sushi and Scott D'Amore chilling outside. in this hallway leading into the thing, right? So I'm like, oh man, I gotta get my picture with Sushi, I gotta get an autograph. And I see that he's pulling out his shirts, those lime green Sushi shirts that he has. So I'm like, I go up to Scott D'Amore, I'm like, oh, Mr. D'Amore, it's a pleasure to meet you. He's like looking at me like, who is this guy, right? And I'm like, can you ask Sushi, is it okay if I get my picture taken with him? And he's like, yeah, I don't know, hold on. He's like, Sushi, can this guy get his picture taken with you? And he's like, yeah, of course. I was like, oh man, I was like, I don't know, it's just so funny, man. Like, I was like, I need Scott D'Amore to translate to Sushi for me. And Scott D'Amore just turns around, he's like, hey Sushi, this guy wants to get his picture taken with you. And he's like, oh yeah, sure, of course. So I thought that was pretty funny. Scott D'Amore was looking at me, and then I kept calling him Mr. D'Amore, and I was like totally acting like a mark. So I know he was like, look, who, he was like, oh my god, who is this guy? So I always chuckle when I think about that. So
the only person I've met there is like Rob Viper.
Oh really?
Yeah. Well, he goes quite frequently. So.
Oh man. I should try and find out who all these people are, man. I'd like to say hi to them. Like, I always hear these people on podcasts and always get some entertainment out of all these various people. So
Steven, even early on or at the E-Zone, what was the kind of waiting culture like? Was there a line? Were people hanging out talking about wrestling out in front, or has it always been?
There was a bit of that because, you know, it was like a single file entrance. I feel like there's more waiting at Horner than at E-Zone. But yeah, it wasn't too bad because, you know, you would... I feel like I never waited at E-Zone, to be honest. I don't know. I just remember talking to, like, Jimmy Corderas in between match. Because, like, he's the head referee there in Smash.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is something we haven't mentioned. Friggin' Jimmy Corderas, who is a longtime WWE referee, is the head referee in Smash.
Yeah.
So he's always there, and he'll come and talk to you in between, like during the intermission and before the show or after the show. And
he's so cool, man. He's like one of the nicest guys. He'll talk to everybody, shake hands, say hi. He's at every show too. Any WWE show you go to, you'll see him outside. I don't know about Ring of Honor, but definitely at Smash and WWE.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
So,
oh, you know who else too, Timothy? You know, I'll just share this really quickly. In Toronto, any WWE house show you go to, you know who you're going to see outside? You're going to see Jimmy Corderas, and you're going to see Rocky Johnson's brother, Ricky Johnson. They're at every WWE show, Ring of Honor show, any place you go to, you're going to see Ricky Johnson, The Rock's brother. Which is
there was
so
another
cool.
one, too, big star in the 80s. His name's slipping my mind, who's always at Ring of Honor, too. The other person you'll see at Ring of Honor is Greg Oliver, the guy who wrote the heel book.
Guys,
he's there a lot at the Ring of Honor shows, but
yeah,
I don't think I've seen him at a Smash show. Yeah, maybe you have. I think I've seen him at a Smash show, but
I don't know. I don't know what Greg Oliver looks like actually. So I don't know. I don't know, but I just like seeing the Rock. I just like seeing Rocky Johnson's brother, The Rock's uncle, all the time at WWE house shows. It's so cool.
That is pretty great. Honestly,
it is. It's so awesome.
So what is, you mentioned Cody Rhodes was in there, who you've already put over multiple times on this show as a confirmed draw, as he drew
I know, I hate that, but go on.
But he was at he's at a merch table. Is that the merch situation? You got wrestlers at tables. Are they around the ring? Or are they off to the sides? What's the kind of merchandise situation like?
They're where the lockers are in high school, in the halls. Yeah. They set up a row of tables there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Oh, man, that's pretty good. And then what about concessions? Is there any? Obviously, you guys are on a school ground, so I'm going to assume they're not serving alcohol.
No, it's actually pretty neat. What they do is they, inside the gym, they have one table that has, like, beer and, like, Pepsi and, like, chips. Like, the Halloween, you know, those small bag of chips.
Right.
And then the other place they buy, like, they go to Tim Hortons, they buy a bunch of donuts, and they get a bunch of pizza. And it's like, oh, here, a slice of pizza is this much money. And then what they also have is, like, you know how schools have, like, an outside thing that's kind of in, like, it's surrounded, like, in the middle. Like, it's building on each side, but it's actually outside.
Yeah, they have, like, this little, like, enclosure, but it's open air. It's like an open air space, like,
does
in the
have
middle
a
of
roof?
No,
it has no roof. So it's like surrounded by the
like,
complex.
It's like the school is made as an a zero.
Gotcha.
And like,
yeah, okay. Exactly.
And, like a
there's a little barbecue.
Yeah,
there.
It's a courtyard.
Yeah, a courtyard. That's the term. Yeah. So they have a barbecue out there, so you can.
Okay. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool. They got hot dogs, hamburgers, and French fries.
And so, I mean, I don't know if this is public knowledge. I don't even know if it's true, but the company is run by, like, the Smash Brothers, or at least Player Uno, correct?
Wow, we're breaking down the fourth wall. I don't. I didn't know about that.
I don't know if that's even true.
I don't know.
I know Sebastian Suave, who was part of the Overdogs, and one of their main stars does some of the promoting.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure who all does everything. They do trot out someone who does a little talk every once in a while, who I think is part of the ownership group, but I know Sebastian Suave is part of it, but I'm not sure about who else.
Okay. And do you get a kind of family, is it family oriented show? As you said, there's a barbecue and they're selling pizza. I mean, that really sounds like to me, like that kind of place, you know, is there a sense of camaraderie between the fans and the show itself?
For me, I feel like there is. Like, I don't have a lot of experience going to small, like, indie shows like that. Like, prior to going to Smash for the first time in May, the only shows that I've gone to are WWE shows and maybe the occasional Ring of Honor when the New Japan guys come. So for me, like, it's one of the things that I like about the show is that I have seen, like, a lot of families there and, like, a lot of kids and kind of like what Steven was saying earlier, like it's not that smarky, snarky kind of attitude. It is more like people having a lot of fun and kind of supporting like really local people, which is actually also really cool. So for me, like I've always found that a pretty cool part of the experience since I've been going.
Okay. And Steven, would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's definitely open to everyone. Like, it's not hipsters, it's not snarky assholes who are like, did you know this, and saying something they read off the internet. It's it's people, they're reacting to the show, they're talking about the show. It's not like, oh man, The Rock said this on Twitter. There's none of that crap. It's all focused on the show and what's going on. And, you know, people come up to you and they say hello because you see them all the time. And, you know, there's four or five people, you know, doing rounds like, hey, how's it going? And you have the, like, there's a few fans that are well known, like, I'm going to forget her name. Bernadette. Yeah.
Yeah. The short girl, the, have you, Timothy, have you seen Poltergeist, the movie?
No, I don't think I have, actually. Sorry.
Okay. Then it'll
so
be lost.
She's just
on
this really short girl.
There's a character in the movie Poltergeist, right? But no, but anyway, but yeah, she's so cool, man. She's at all the shows. She has like
she's at all the shows, and she spends the entire show just jawing with the heels.
Yeah, she has a blast every time.
She's yelling nonstop at the heels, just trash talking so loud. It's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, she's awesome. There's that Santa Claus guy too. Do you know who that guy is, Steven?
No, I can't recall at this moment. No.
Okay, so a few times that I've been there, like especially the first time I noticed him was when I went to the Smash versus Progress shows, and he won one of the raffle draws, and they were like Santa, and he's like this older guy with the big white hair and the big white beard and everything. So.
Yeah, and like remember the Smash vs. Progress shows? There was the thing with El Ligera, who was like being chased by children, and like these children, he was like afraid of this one child in the crowd.
Oh yeah.
The child in the crowd like got involved and like went in the ring, like the baby face like brought the child into the ring, and El Ligera was just cowering behind him and stuff like that. So there is that kind of stuff too. Like
it's
completely fine for the family for sure.
Yeah, definitely. The only time that I ever saw a problem was not a problem, but the first night of the Progress shows, right where I was sitting, there was like about four guys that brought in their own alcohol. They were drinking all night. And I remember on night two, before the show started, they made an announcement about that. Like, listen, you know, no one bring in alcohol into the event or anything. It's the only time that I've seen any sort of problem happen. And it was just those guys were like pretty drunk and pretty rowdy. They didn't cause any problems or anything like that. But that was the only time where it kind of took away a little bit from a family atmosphere of the show. But they handled that like the next night. They made a mention about it and stuff. So,
well, and you guys also both have kind of mentioned it's not a smarky crowd, really. But when you did go to the Smash versus Progress, or they do the Smash and Chikara shows, and they're bringing in kind of outsiders, and maybe, as you said, they bring in some names, like,
yeah.
Does the crowd really feel like they're well informed on all of these people? Do they know who Mark Haskins is? Because myself, when I saw Mark Haskins live, you know, I knew who he was, but I couldn't imagine someone who doesn't know who he is the first time you see him. You might go, oh, who's this little guy? And then, you know, once he starts wrestling, it stands out. But, I mean, was the crowd receptive? Do they seem like they're well informed in wrestling and not smarky? Or are they just kind of casual wrestling fans?
I think that whenever they bring in those people, like whoever they bring in, there seems to be like a group of people who come specifically for that. And that's even like for me, the first shows that I started going to, it's because of specifically guys that they were bringing in. So like, for example, for me, the Progress versus Smash show, like the first night I was sitting, there was two girls sitting beside me who were both from the UK. I guess they're going to school here in Toronto or something like that. So they came for the show. Totally from the UK. They had all their Progress gear on. They knew everybody. They knew who Haskins was, Zack Sabre, you know, Gallagher, El Ligero. They knew them all, the London Riots. And there was definitely, it seemed to be like a group of there seemed to be a, what would you call it? Like a portion of the fan base that night seemed to be there because it was Progress and not because Smash. You know what I mean? So I think that happens. If that answers the question, I don't know.
Well, then, like, the regulars. Do the regulars know who the Smash people are?
Like, who
the Progress people are?
I don't know, Steven. What do you think? Like, I don't know, you know, to be honest. I don't know
if they know, but they're definitely very open-minded to any actors brought in.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're not...
They're going to give anyone a shot, really.
Right. Yeah.
So they're not necessarily the most well-informed wrestling fan or crowd?
Well, you know what? I don't know. I think it's like a mixture, to be honest, Timothy, because there's definitely like I see there's guys that you'll see there that you'll also see at the WWE show, and you'll see them at like there's this other thing, Lucha TO, which also seems to have some sort of connection with Smash, because when I saw them up in Scarborough, they had the Smash ring. They had the same guy that does the talking for Smash. He was there. So you do see guys there that definitely know who these wrestlers are. So I think it's like a mixture, to be honest. That's the best way that I could describe it, I think.
Okay.
There's like all types of fans.
Yeah. Like, I think there's a fan base there that just goes because they love to see some live wrestling. And they might not necessarily know who Mark Haskins is. But they know, for example, who Speedball Mike Bailey is because they see him all the time, right? They don't know that he's like in Japan wrestling for DDT or, you know, used to be maybe in PWG when he was able to go to the US, right? Or in Progress for that matter. But they definitely know who he is from local shows, like, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, this has been enlightening and I've learned a lot about the company. But before I let you guys go, this is, I guess, official—the first official time that this is the segment. But you have to tell me about the bathrooms.
Oh, the bathrooms—they're—they're not—they're small. I'll say that. If there's like a lot of people going in to use them, man, you don't have a lot of room in there. But they're—I don't know. There's nothing really. They're not bad or anything like that.
Is it hard to get to them from the seating area?
No, it's like. Before, it used to just, you'd walk out these big doors and the washroom's right there on the right-hand side. It's like not even like a far walk to go. They've been doing renovations at that community center for the last few shows. So there's actually a certain section of the building that's been closed off. And they've had to rearrange, like, for example, where people come in. And that one area, washrooms are out of bounds now. So now there's another section of the building where you have to go to. But no, there's never like lineups or crowds of people or anything like that. You can navigate anywhere you need to navigate inside that building, and it's pretty easy.
And it's a high school gymnasium, so they're to at least an okay standard.
Yeah.
It's like a community center / high school. So yeah, I mean, they're clean and everything like that. They're not like gas station bathrooms or anything. yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay, guys, I guess if there's anything you want to plug, go ahead, Carl.
You know what? I just want to plug. Oh, sorry. Voice cracked there a little bit. I just want to plug Wrestling with Words, man. From time to time, I might do a review there of like an All Japan show or something like that. And in the future, I might be doing some reviews of some of the live events I go to. But nonetheless, Wrestling with Words is a great site. There's all kinds of people on there. That do really awesome podcasts and really awesome reviews of shows. Like, there's so much knowledge at that website. So I just want to mostly really give a plug to that. And I'll also plug my Twitter, which is at CarlitosWay745. I barely ever tweet on it. So if you do go there, you're probably not going to get too much from me. But nonetheless, I'll plug it anyway. And Timothy, real honor to be on here with you and Steven today. Thanks a lot for inviting me to do this. I really had a great time. And hopefully in the future we can do more podcasts together as well.
Fantastic. Thank you. And yeah. Steven, anything you needed to plug?
Yeah, man. Zelda Breath of the Wild is so fucking great. I just can't stop playing it. get a fucking Nintendo Switch if you can and play Zelda Breath of the Wild. It's so good.
Nice.
It's why I'm not watching any wrestling right now, to be honest. But as for plugs, yeah, Twitter, Stephen Graham, TWS, Stephen with a V, Graham like the cracker. You can follow me there. You can get mad at me and, you know, unfollow me if you want to. For podcasts, so I have my Super Bestest podcast with J.R. Goldberg, the great man who carries me through the show with all his great knowledge. And, our next episode will be coming out shortly or is already out, depending on when this comes out. I'm not sure. And it's, you know, we usually do Lucha, but we're doing Asbestos matches. So to honor Ring of Honor's 15th anniversary, we're going to do the El Generico versus Chris Hero mask versus retirement match from Final Battle 2010. So we'll be doing that on the podcast. And then the... my original show, The Pro Wrestling Super Show, we'll be back for WrestleMania weekend, where me and Tim Livingston will do our 33 favorite wrestling moment memories. So,
all right, fantastic. Well, thank you guys both so much. Carl, thank you for the kind words. You were fantastic. Steven, always a pleasure. And everyone who's listening to this, again, that's the point of this whole show, is not just to hear what, you know, the live wrestling is like other places, which is fun, but also to maybe get you excited to go see some live wrestling yourself. So get out there, make some friends. As we said, all the wrestling crowds that we've talked about on this podcast have all sounded like they're fantastic and friendly and awesome. So just get out there and watch some live wrestling.
Absolutely.
Just like the parents did, I wanna smash it up. Look out to masters.